Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke, Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Oh, welcome everybody to another version of Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. Happy, happy Cinco de Mayo, happy Revenge of the Fifth, happy Friday Eve, and happy Thursday to all. I'm pretty sure it is Thursday.
I think it's Thursday, but nobody can tell me this isn't a margarita in my water bottle.
And no one can tell me that this isn't coffee, but it's really coffee in my... Now you've messed me up. I missed an opportunity here, and I really think I should have capitalized on it. Can we start the day over again? We start the show over, everybody?
Yeah, just go back to bed. We'll start over.
We'll just keep going. It's fine. All right, you're listening to me in Waukesha on WAUK 540 AM as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. You're listening to Luke over there in Madison on 1580 AM. WTTN as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app. You can also check us out on Dueling Tangents on Twitter. And if you can't find us otherwise, you're really not trying or not listening. So give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can call or text anytime. And those are all the information I have for right now. We have a special guest today. You want to introduce, Luke?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be joined again this afternoon by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan's got a number of pieces that I wanted to invite him on to talk about this afternoon because, Brian, Dan's cranking out some terrific work over as an independent journalist, but he's got some partnerships that we want to talk about as well and some on-the-ground work coming from some of the articles that he had published earlier as well. So, Dan, welcome to the show. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing well, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, excited to be joined by you. And really the first one I want to kick off on, and we were going to have you on earlier this week, but some of the news breaking nationally and then here in the state of Wisconsin kind of kicked back this appearance a little bit. But we've got an update on the Stadium Highway Project in Milwaukee, Highway 175. What can you share with us from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and the county and city event that took place yesterday, talking about where those plans are going?
Yeah, there was a big announcement on Milwaukee's west side of Washington Park yesterday, where we had the Secretary of the State Department of Transportation, Craig Thompson, joined local leaders, County Executive David Crowley, and Mayor Cavalier Johnson, to announce that there would be a new study to reimagine the future of the Stadium Freeway, State Highway 175, which is about a 1.5 mile stretch of freeway that is north of the stadium interchange. So this project is something that we've written quite a bit about at the Recombobulation Area. It was part of our Expanding the Divide series from last year on the proposed expansion of the freeway here in Milwaukee. And one of the things that I wrote at the time was that we need to take a look, take a step back and re-examine this project, particularly how it connects to this freeway. And how this freeway is or isn't serving this side of town. And what we're having now is a pretty dynamic collaboration between, state, city, and county. We don't always see that in Wisconsin and in the Milwaukee area, but we're having a pretty remarkable collaboration here to take a look at the future of this freeway. And I think, the ultimate goal being converting this freeway to a boulevard. To reconnect some of these neighborhoods that have been unnecessarily divided by this unnatural highway dividing line.
Can you talk about a little bit more about how freeways divide communities? Because one of the most glaring examples I've seen, I lived in Chicago for a while, the south side, the I-94 going up basically cut off the south side from two different neighborhoods, and you basically drive through
what could have been a wonderful neighborhood. But then you go to the north side and it's all open and wonderful and you can see and everything's connected underneath. It just seems like a divide. Can you talk a little bit more about dividing lines and what that really means?
Yeah, I think historically, you know, this happens, you know, in many of these cities that are often characterized as the most segregated in the country, you have these highways cutting through black and brown communities. And in Milwaukee, we have a couple examples of that. You have, you know, when I-43 was built in the 50s and 60s, it cleared out tens of thousands of homes, and the majority of those homes were owned by black residents of the city. So the impact of doing that, it still lingers. And with the stadium freeway as well, I think you see how, you know, that initially when that was built in the 50s and 60s, it was built to connect to some other freeways that ultimately, you know, after protests in the city were halted. So this freeway that we're talking about reimagining was designed to stretch all the way up to Ozaukee County to connect to the Park East and Park West freeways that were going to cut through the city of Milwaukee. So it ultimately never connected to anything. And if you look at, you know, demographics on either side of this freeway, any direction really, you know, you see that to the west of the freeway is a majority white neighborhoods, and to the east of the freeway is majority black neighborhoods, or actually some of the most integrated neighborhoods in the city of Milwaukee. And you see how, you know, how this highway is kind of stands in the way of stitching these neighborhoods together. You know, it's the highway runs right along Washington Park, which is one of the city's best parks, and is an Olmsted Park and is being celebrated for that this year and as part of that anniversary. And the western border of that park is just a cliff that goes straight down to a freeway where it could, you know, have better connections to the very residential neighborhoods of Washington Heights and Sherman Park and some of the other neighborhoods that are to the west and to the north of this freeway. So I think, you know, as David Crowley and as Cavalier Johnson talked about at the press conference yesterday, the goal of converting this freeway and the goal of this study is to really address that segregation that this highway has, you know, has reinforced in these neighborhoods.
Yeah, and so yes, earlier this week's news, the announcement of this study is a good first step. But where do we go from here now, Dan? What are the next steps beyond announcing of this study?
Well, I think the next step is the public process of it, and I think, you know, as part of, they said this study would cost about $2-3 million, and it would last for the next about year and a half. So they really want to engage the neighbors and really want to get this right. And I think it's going to be really important for the DOT, for the county, for the city, to really be out there and talking to people in these neighborhoods and see what people really want to this side of the city to be. Because as things connect, you know, there's opportunities.
And about those opportunities, like, you know, we're talking about turning basically a freeway into a boulevard. Now, you think, okay, it's still a delivery service for traffic into American Family Field, right? But you also forget that, you know, turning into a boulevard opens up business opportunities for the side of that boulevard. You can go and have shops up and down the street. Imagine, I mean, one of the cool things about going to American Family Field is that you can tailgate and things like that, but there's really not much else around there. If you have an actual boulevard going into there, that leads opportunities for businesses to open up, and you can have maybe something like akin to a Wrigleyville, or like, you know, even the south side of Chicago is doing. A lot of neighborhood,
you don't even have to
baseball
look,
parks.
You don't have to look at Chicago, though. You can look right at the Pfizer Forum, not too far from the AmFam Fields, to the Deer District that is developed outside of the Pfizer Forum.
People go there when the games are on the road.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so there definitely seems to be some opportunities there. And so what kind of public comments are we going to be talking about here, Dan? Are we thinking the Department of Transportation is going to be working with both the county and city in this kind of unprecedented coordination? Or where do we expect to see, where should the public be interested in sharing their input?
You know, that we're still at the very early stages of that, and I think it's going to be important for a lot of the neighborhood groups and the business improvement districts that we have in this area to be active in this conversation. You know, and just to go off something that you mentioned there about the Bucks Arena, you know, that the arena is built in the former Park East space, and the arena and the Deer District are in the footprint of what was once a highway. And so we have an example right in the city of removing an unnecessary freeway spur and opening that area up for development. Now, it took a while. There was a recession there that kind of held up some of that, but ultimately they got it right. And they got it right with this arena. They got it right with the Deer District. And now it's, you know, a worldwide phenomenon. And I think when you look at American Family Field, and you know, some of the adjacent neighborhoods there, you know, that's not exactly the best part of seeing a game there. It's not that the neighborhood around it is you know, is not like what we see downtown and what we see with a lot of newer developments with stadiums and the like. So I think that there's room for improvement there, and I think reexamining what this highway would be. Along with some of the other, you know, issues that that are in that kind of West Milwaukee Stadium interchange, American Family Field area, there's a lot of opportunity there, and then I think people are starting to recognize that, you know, that it is ripe for change.
Yeah, heck, even having a wonderful giant big party store going in on the like tailgate supply store, just be just a good startup at least, if nothing else. I mean, come on, there's so much available space as well. It's kind of like a dead zone somewhat around there.
Yeah, we could definitely have an excellent tailgate zone that people don't need cars for. Members of the community could come tailgate and then head on into the stadium from there.
Imagine living around there and then walking to the stadium.
Oh,
wow.
It sounds nice. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're joined this afternoon by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about reimagining Highway 175 near Milwaukee. We are also taking your calls this hour, 844-967-2789, and a couple of another piece that Dan's been working on as well coming up this next segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We have good roads in this state, and I hear that from people all the time who say, I don't know what the heck they're talking about.